Welcome to the Electronic Entertainment Expo Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 8 of E4 2019. I'm Tommy, that's Jamie. 8 episodes, man. Now it's just getting ridiculous.
For everything that is good, sweet, and awesome in the world, I can't take it!
And on top of all that, we're talking Nintendo for this this episode. And Nintendo kind of surprised us, didn't they?
Well, let's put it this way. We weren't about to do this right now. and I saw it, and you saw it, and we kind of dropped everything.
Yeah. We thought it needed some talking about.
We've allotted 20 minutes. I think that's probably not enough.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We'll see.
Nintendo, I don't really know what happened, but every ounce of software that I saw from the time that it started to the time that it ended, I'm looking at it going, yeah, I'd play that.
Yeah. So Nintendo was really upfront and said many, many times coming into E3 that they weren't showing hardware, that they weren't making a Switch announcement, no new SKUs, that kind of stuff. And they held to it by showing as much software as they possibly could in 40 minutes or whatever that time thing is. It was such a big chunk of software. It was crazy how much software they showed. And like you said, every bit of it is at least intriguing, if not something that we're definitely going to play. It was just a ton, and did not expect that. So let's jump in and let's talk about software that we saw from Nintendo. And so, very first thing was some Super Smash Brothers. Not surprising there, with one new character announced at the beginning, another character announced a little bit later on. We'll mention that here in just a second as well. But the character at the beginning that was announced was the hero from Dragon Quest. And then right after that, they announced Dragon Quest XI's coming to a Switch on September 27th, which we also saw in the Square show, and we'll be talking about that more later on. So that seems like a big deal, and Dragon Quest looks pretty. It's one of those games that, man, if I had the time, like, that's an RPG that I think I would really, really get into.
Again, the show, full time, the 7th. Thank you, Patreon, guys.
Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, and Brigham. You know how to get it. Go by Gaming Uncensored and click on Patreon link. I feel like now it's just like, oh, yep, we're talking about how much we need to play games. Let's list the guys.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Because every time we fire up, the mic, it's like, yeah, okay, we need yet another reason to go full time on this show, and the only way we can do it is if you guys support us like welfare, basically. that's pretty much it.
No, not wrong.
Which by the way, Duff, if you're listening, we're going to have to hire you as our personal doctor, because if we're really going to do this right, we're not leaving the house. Like, you just need to, like, bring some gear and hook us up. And, like, I want to do the Michael Jackson thing. Like, I want to be that. Just hook me up to some consoles. Hook me up to a PC. Give me an IV and let's go. I mean, like, I got a plan, man.
Yeah.
We got a doctor. We got people. We can do this.
That's fantastic. I love it. So, that was Dragon Quest, which looked cool. Like I said, this was later in the show, but I'll go ahead and mention it here. One other announcement for Super Smash Brothers was Banjo and Kazooie coming, which is also cool. My favorite thing I saw on Twitter, getting the Twitter plug in here, was Phil Spencer is hyped about Banjo and Kazooie being in Super Smash Brothers. And I just love that about the game industry. You know, like that Phil Spencer is sitting there going, man, Nintendo's cool.
Yeah. That this is what we always tell people. All of these people work together, and for the most part, they like each other. And this is what I love about E3, is that everybody is together for a week. And even though Nintendo doesn't have, you know, a press conference, they're there. They got a booth, complete with, like, a freaky Luigi's Mansion kind of a thing going on.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Miyamoto's walking around, and for as much as we've talked about the demise of E3, I really would like to be there.
Yeah.
Because everybody's there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And apparently having a blast, and at least that part of it's still part of it. So, moving on with other Nintendo stuff, because there's a ton here. And so Zelda showed up, and Zelda's going to show up again, and we'll talk about that at the end, because that's fun. But Zelda showed up with Link's Awakening, the remake that we heard about a few months back. I'm more than psyched for this. This is a day one purchase for me. I love the style of it. It feels like old school Zelda, but with, you know, this new kind of cosmetic on it that feels almost like cartoonish meets claymationish. I don't know exactly how to describe it, but I really like it. Like, the feel of it seems really, really cool.
It is one sexy beast. it's like Zelda with candy.
Yes.
Like that, it looks like candy.
Yeah.
And I really like it.
I do too. That's a good way to put it. It looks like candy. It's also going to include a dungeon building mode, which did not know I wanted that, but after I saw it, I went, oh, that actually looks pretty cool. Like, that you could lay out a dungeon. I'm hoping there's going to be, like, some kind of random dungeon builder, but you get, like, loot or stuff from completing these dungeons, and so it feels like it could be another cool game mechanic. Something, you know, similar to, not the same, obviously, but similar to, like, shrines in Breath of the Wild, and just giving you that extra level of depth to the gameplay, which I dig, so. And a September 20th release date on that, which is not far away. So new Zelda coming soon, and new Zelda that looks really, really fun. And so that honestly is the thing I'm most psyched about coming out of it, even with the other big Zelda announcement. That is soon, and I'm really, really pumped. So I think that's going to be fantastic.
I feel like this is the appropriate time to have the conversation about how wicked the Switch is.
Yeah.
Just as far as, look, folks, we've said it before, I'm going to say it again. If you do not own a Switch, this is the best possible money you could spend in video games anywhere today. I ain't talking about, you know, we've been talking about Game Pass and how awesome that is. No. Switch is the best bang for your buck on the planet today. Such good software, such great hardware. It's great. If you don't have one, go buy one. Don't even blink.
Yeah, I completely agree. And they're sold on it. I mean, they're putting out software and software and software, and even porting a bunch of stuff. There's ports we'll talk about here in just a second that I was not expecting. It's just a great console in the middle of, like, the console generation shifting for Microsoft and Sony. Like, the Switch is just going to keep on doing its thing. I don't expect us seeing console from Nintendo anytime soon. They're going to do SKUs for the Switch. I think we'll see that this year. But
there's no reason for them to get past the Switch at this point. Things have been doing gangbusters. So we're going to see that continue through this next transition of console cycles. And then who the crap knows what Nintendo does after that. But they've got a winner on their hands right now. So next up was the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance. This is one that I'm not into the Dark Crystal, and so it doesn't pique my interest quite as much. But looks pretty.
Yes, it does. And that's the key with all of these. They all look fantastic.
Yeah.
It's like they're all eye-popping.
Yeah.
We talked about one of these previous shows. I think it was the PC game show. They only had a couple of titles that made me look up Nintendo. I'm looking the whole time like I couldn't take my eyes off of it.
Yeah, 100%. I was right there with you. That I didn't realize because I saw this pop up in the corner. There was a Netflix logo for the Dark Crystal. I didn't even know that there was the Dark Crystal was coming to Netflix, but apparently it is. I remember the like 80s movie of the Dark Crystal with the puppets and you know, it's a Jim Henson thing. And so that's what's in my head for a Dark Crystal. I didn't even know it was coming back. And so this whole thing kind of shocked me. Again, not something I'm hugely into, but whatever. It's a like a tactics-based RPG. Could be cool. Again, it's one of those pieces of software that, I don't know, why not, you know? Nintendo needs a subscription service, dang it. We did not see that in there.
We did not see that, but that is something I'd pay for.
Yeah, I would too. I don't think Nintendo would do it. They just don't have the infrastructure to do that. But I would pay for it. So we saw Luigi's Haunted Mansion, some gameplay with that of how it's going to work. The Gooigi thing, I think, looks pretty cool. Like, you get to be, like, a goo-based Luigi that you could, like, switch on and off between regular Luigi and Gooigi to solve puzzles and that kind of stuff. It's also, there's a co-op ability with that, which is cool. And honestly, it, like, looks pretty fun. Like, it just looks like a fun Mario-esque game, Luigi game. I'll play it, too.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with Luigi's Mansion. It's not, like, earth-shattering story-wise. It's not, like, the most amazing thing ever. It's just fun.
Yeah.
And, again, it looks good.
Yeah, absolutely. After that, we saw a couple of Mana games. So there's Trials of Mana, which is the newest in the Mana series. That's coming to the Switch sometime early next year. But they also announced that they will be releasing the collection of Mana, which will be the three original Mana games, of which is Secret of Mana on the Super Nintendo, which was one of my favorite RPGs on Super Nintendo. And so that's really cool. Like, I was not expecting that. That kind of came out of nowhere as well. I didn't even know that was a franchise that they were still making stuff for. But to get the classic Secret of Mana would be really, really awesome.
I said last year, this time at E3, that the Switch is an RPG machine, and they stuck with it. If you like RPGs, and we love RPGs, the Switch is where it's at.
Yeah.
There's no way around it. It is the RPG machine. And on the list of stuff we need to do when this show goes full time, we could dedicate a weekly show just to Nintendo. Yeah. And I'm talking about an hour and a half of, hey, here's what we did this week. Yeah. It's that good.
Yeah.
I can't express enough. It is that good.
Yeah. Speaking of RPGs, getting a port, did not see this one coming, of The Witcher 3 coming to the Switch. I actually saw CD Projekt Red tweet about this, calling it The Switcher, which I thought was pretty brilliant. So the Switcher officially coming to the Switch this year. I don't know that this is the console that I would choose to play The Witcher on. But if you don't have another choice, or you haven't played The Witcher 3 and you've got a Switch, like, play it, because it's fantastic. It's one of the best RPGs that's come out in the past decade plus. It's so freaking good. And so if it opens that game up to another audience, I'm all for it.
The reason that you would play it on Switch is the mobile aspect.
Yes, absolutely.
I thought you would fall all over it, because you could take The Witcher 3 with you wherever you went. And I think that's why it's good. And it's not going to look as good as it does on the PC. But it doesn't really matter because it's mobile.
Yeah.
Which, let me ask you a Witcher question while we're here.
Yep.
I have The Witcher 3. I have endeavored to start it like two or three times. You know what stops me every time? We've talked about the first two games and how sketchy they were as far as whether they would run or not. I'm trying to figure out, how do you start the story with the third game? Like, I've looked on YouTube, what choices do you make, that kind of stuff. I think CD Projekt, especially when they're releasing it on different consoles, they need to explain to people, hey, if you haven't played The Witcher, here's what you need to know. I know those are all over YouTube, but I'm looking for a definitive something, and especially with it coming out on the Switch, I think they really need to do that.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. That's exactly what I did when I played The Witcher 3, because I didn't play through the first two games. I tried to play both of the first two games and had PC issues with both of them. But I found a video on YouTube that was just like, here's the backstory. It was like 20 minutes long, and like fired up The Witcher 3. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I know this world. I know these characters. Like, I'm not connected to them yet, but like, I know who they are and how they map into this thing. And, you know, I enjoyed the heck out of that game, not having ever played through the first two. I have no idea what video that was, but I'm sure there's, GameSpot or IGN or somebody has an explainer video up at this point. That's pretty solid. Well,
and I've, like I said, I've tinkered with it. I know about parts of the game. I just haven't dove into it, because it's, when you start, that's 100 hours of your life, you know?
Yeah.
And it's totally worth it. And that's the thing that I think is going to limit a lot of people, because it's the third game of the series, and there's a lot of story there.
Yeah.
So if they could do that, I think that would help a lot.
Yeah, but let me be clear, anybody that's hearing this, don't let that stop you. You could jump in and you can figure it out. It's a good standalone title. It'll fill you in on some of the backstory. I didn't hesitate a second playing a game. I never felt lost, and so that's a good thing. No More Heroes 3 is coming to the Switch. Again, something I didn't know was still a thing and that I necessarily wanted, but it's pretty, and there it is. So, a new No More Heroes.
Moving on.
Yeah. After that, again, Panzer Dragoon. What? We got a Panzer Dragoon coming to the Switch later this year. Again, still here. Didn't know that I necessarily wanted it, but watching it, kind of went, oh yeah, I would play that.
1998 all over again.
Yeah, Sega Saturn, speaking of, talked about earlier. So Resident Evil 5 and 6 are getting ports coming to the Switch, and so more Resident Evil on the Switch. This Daemon X Machina that we saw last year, I still don't know what this thing is, but last year it looked good, and this year it still looks good, and it's coming in September, and so it's not far away. I still don't fully understand what this game is, though. I feel like I'm missing something. Like, I feel like I should be in on something that I'm not to understand what this is.
Remember what I just said about The Witcher? I think that's another one of those things. I think it's been around for a while, and there's some story somewhere, and that's why we don't get it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not. I'm kind of looking at the Wikipedia page right now. But I think it just is a thing. Who knows? Whatever. It's pretty. Again, that's an impressive thing about a lot of these on the Switch. Like, the Switch isn't the console you think of things being pretty, but they are, because they develop into what the Switch is, and so the visuals make a ton of sense. So, like, watching the Witcher 3 video is like, it's okay, but it doesn't look as good as it does in other places. But watching Zelda or Luigi or even Deus Ex Machina, it looks really good. It's really pretty because it's been designed for the Switch, and they're utilizing that platform really, really well. And so, Contra. Another Contra game. Contra Rogue Core. This may be the one out of all of them that was kind of like, okay, whatever. I don't care too much. But it's a thing? I don't know.
I meant to mention this during the PC show. There was some sort of, like, heavy metal Contra thing.
I do remember that. We didn't talk about that, but that was...
Contra is everywhere, and I spent many, 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 many hours of my life when I was younger playing, and many, many lives playing Contra. I am excited for Contra because of what it is and what it represents. I don't know that I'll ever play it, but dude, I'm glad it's there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. After that was Pokemon Sword and Shield, which I don't get, as we've talked about many, many, many times. But the Treehouse Live right after the Direct was all about Pokemon when I was shutting that off. And so, obviously, Pokemon's a huge thing. I'm actually surprised, pleasantly surprised personally, just because I'm not into Pokemon, that they didn't spend a ton of time on it in the Nintendo Direct, in part because they just had so much freaking software. And so we still got a lot of software to go. But spending time on Pokemon with the Nintendo Treehouse thing, I think, makes a lot of sense for them. I'm glad they're doing that.
Yeah, I immediately turned it off because I didn't care.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that's the thing with Nintendo. The stuff that they got, people are vastly devoted to, whether it's Zelda, whether it's Pokemon, whether it's Mario. You talk about niche stuff. They got audiences for all of those games. I mean, for crying out loud, there's a Pikachu movie out right now that I talk about the 20-year-old guys that I work with. They all went to see the thing.
I believe
and,
it.
And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why? But they did.
Yeah.
And Nintendo's laughing all the way to the bank.
Yeah. Absolutely. A new game after Pokemon called Empire of Sin. This one really piqued my interest. It's set in, like, Prohibition era Chicago. And it's like this top-down, they kind of explain as a tactical shooter, character-driven strategy game. I don't know exactly how it's going to play. But just the style of it and the idea of Prohibition-era Chicago has me in this. I just the look, the vibe, the noir kind of thing, it looks like it could be really cool, really fun, without knowing really anything about the game other than what it looks like.
You want a character with a fedora and a machine gun and a beard.
That's
what we're going for.
A Tommy gun specifically. Has to have a Tommy gun.
I can't believe you just made that pun. That's freaking hilarious. I saw this and I thought the same thing. That's really cool. Must play it. I never say this, but I want to play it specifically because it looks cool.
Yes. Yeah, that's all we know about it at this point, is that it has a cool look to it, and that has me interested. Next up is Ultimate Alliance 3. which is all the Marvel superheroes together. Plus, they've added a whole bunch that they announced new today, including the Fantastic Four. And so just like every freaking superhero here. So we're going to talk about Square Show. Square talked about their Avengers game. We'll get to that a little bit more later on. But this is the one that's a Marvel game that I'm like, oh, that looks like a lot of fun. Like it piqued my interest more than the Avengers game from Square did.
Because it's an old school turn-based beat 'em up.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if it's turn-based, but it's definitely.
But it's old school, kind of what we expect from Marvel games from when we were younger. Like this is a continuation of that style, whereas the new Avengers definitely isn't that. And we don't know exactly.
No,
what
it is not.
Well, we'll talk about that in the Square Show. That'll be after this one. After that, big game everybody was anticipating getting more info on, and we did. Animal Crossing New Horizons showed off some stuff about it, including a release date, which is March 20th. It was supposed to originally come out this year. Said, hey, we didn't get it done. It's not ready. It's coming out next year. And I haven't seen a single person who cares. You know, like everybody's like, just give me Animal Crossing like when it's ready. But yet another game for March 2020. That's like a big, big profile game. Again, that 2 months of March and April next year, just jam-packed.
Duff, I'll say it again. IVs and lots and lots of medical treatments. That's all I'm saying, buddy. Make it happen. Oh, I have one more thing. Can we come to your house?
There you go. Yeah.
Because it's sunnier there. Yeah.
I mean, we're going to lock ourselves inside all day, but still.
Yeah. I mean, for crying out loud, man, you got that house, and it's going to be handicap accessible. So let's make that happen.
There you go. Yeah. Next up, we got more Zelda for the second time. We still got more Zelda to come. This is the Cadence of Hyrule. That's this weird hybrid game that's like Zelda, but like rhythmic. And I don't get it. I don't need to play this game. But if it goes on sale for real cheap, I might pick it up just because I love Zelda so much. But it was like catchy. Watching them play it, the kind of like rhythmic battle thing with it, it's just bizarre.
It's 420 somewhere.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean that's what that is. It's 420 somewhere.
Fair enough. We saw the big Olympics game, Sonic and Mario Olympics stuff, which again just looks fun. That would be a good time. We got a big sizzle reel after that with a bunch of games included in there, some of which didn't know they were coming to Switch, some of which they'd already talked about. Nothing super surprising through sizzle reel stuff. And then we got the Banjo-Kazooie announcement right at the end. And here's the big, like, wait, there's one more thing moment of E3 at this point. There hasn't been an announcement yet at E3 that was like, oh, wow, that's unexpected and pretty shocking. Nintendo did it. Nintendo announced that development is in progress and showed some footage of a Breath of the Wild sequel. So I'm not expecting any new content for Breath of the Wild now because they're just working on a whole freaking new game. And I'm okay with that.
Yeah, there goes the next 100 hours of our lives whenever yeah. That happens. What I just said about The Witcher, the reason I haven't played it is because the last game that we've devoted that much time to was Zelda.
Yeah.
And we're going to do it again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. it doesn't matter what else is out when that comes out. Like, it's going to get 100% of my attention.
Like, it's probably Cyberpunk's going to maybe luckily be out before it's out, which is good.
For sure.
Because we'd even throw Cyberpunk out the window for this.
Yes. Yeah. I can't imagine this before 2021.
It's a ways away. It will be one of the last games on the Switch, would be my guess. Like one of the swan song games for the Switch. And I don't care, you know, like I'm ready when you're ready, Nintendo. I will wait for you. Give me Breath of the Wild whenever you want. But I'm like, I even made a comment on it in the last show about Yubi of, well, if Nintendo's not going to give me more Breath of the Wild, then might as well get it from Yubi. Well, Nintendo said, we're going to give you more Breath of the Wild. You're just gonna have to wait on it. And okay, cool. Done. I'll wait. I'll be here. You don't have to give me any more. I would love more DLC for Breath of the Wild, but I'm not expecting it now, and I'm okay with that. Like, if you're going to give me a full new game with new areas, new worlds, like, cool. Like, work on that. Do that, and I'll be here when you're done.
There's no words. Like, I saw it, and I literally started screaming.
Yep.
Like a little kid, I started screaming, and that's what this game does.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm so happy.
Yeah. Nintendo brought software, and a ton of it. Again, the shortest show, the shortest quote unquote conference or Nintendo Direct thing, being that analog to a conference. Theirs was the shortest. Theirs was the most jam-packed. And again, something that I've mentioned, Nia mentioned this about Nintendo too. We saw very little gameplay in this. It's almost all just trailers. There was a little bit, like with Luigi's Mansion. They showed a little bit of gameplay about that since it's close.
Link's Awakening
we saw. Animal Crossing a little bit. And so it wasn't none. It was better than Microsoft's gameplay. But a big thing here is so much of the software is first party. And that's the not everything. There's several, obviously, all the ports we talked about in there. But so much of this, especially a lot of the RPG stuff, Zelda and Luigi and Mario Maker didn't even really show up. Like, they're doing stuff about Mario Maker around the Nintendo Direct, but Mario Maker wasn't even really part of the Nintendo Direct. And so, they've just got software coming out their ears at this point. And that's honestly where you want to be. And it's kind of wise for Nintendo, whereas the other two main console makers are at the end of that life cycle of the console, which also means this kind of dearth in software. Nintendo's right in the like sweet spot of their console as far as software goes. And so Sony chooses not to show up at all, in large part because, like, they would just show everything they showed last year. Microsoft does that, shows a lot of what we already knew is coming, and it was great. I enjoyed it, but there wasn't a lot new from Microsoft. We saw more Gears, we saw more Halo, we saw more Cyberpunk, but we saw all those things at E3 last year. Nintendo shows up with new stuff, and the stuff we saw last year that's coming soon, but also lots of new stuff, and they're in a unique place because they broke the cycle that they aren't like following the other guys and doing their own thing. And it just puts them in a really, really good spot.
Dearth. I think at this point, you're just taunting me with words.
I'm trying.
Really? Dearth. That's funny. It's all really good. It's all really, really good. And one thing that you mentioned I want to go back to real quick is that we're looking at Zelda being 2021, and you said possibly one of the last games on the Switch. Switch is how old?
Came out in 2016?
All right, so
3 years?
That's about what I thought. So
isn't that right?
2016 to 2021, which I am betting everything I got that it's going to go that far at this point. So
2017, by the way. I was a year off.
So that's, let's see, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so that's 4 years out of a console that you and I said would probably only have two max. And it's the cheapest console out there. And it's probably one of the most expensive to make because it's so small.
Yeah.
But Nintendo is killing it price-wise. Like, I think they're making everybody look bad. I really do, because everybody else is like, look at all the hardware we got. We got teraflops, and we got solid states, and we got all this stuff. And it's just like, yeah, okay. I'm amazed at the Switch at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a testament to how Nintendo just does things differently. You know, they just don't care about being the same. And sometimes it blows up in their face. The Wii U, not great. You know, like they put that out and we saw the Wii U when they announced that. And we were both like, yeah, you know, and it kind of turned into that. It was a big success for Nintendo. And then they showed a Switch and we're like, okay, well, we can see how that would be a thing. And then it blows up massively. The Wii was the same way. We've never eaten crow on anything on this show as much as we ate crow about the freaking Wii. That it just exploded. And like Nintendo is either hit or miss like that. Like it's either a huge deal or it's a flop. The Switch is a huge deal. Like they got it right with this one.
Yeah. Now, I really am amazed that this is where we are, because as good as it is, I never expected this much software.
Yeah.
Never. Not in a million years.
Yeah. I didn't and either. I was shocked. I thought we were going to get 20 minutes of Smash, 20 minutes of Pokemon, and a few sizzle reels. Like, I really thought that's why. Like, I wasn't really engaged in it to start with. And like by the end of it, I was like riveted, you know, like just completely absorbed by the screen. It was completely different than I expected them to go.
The only thing, literally the only thing that was missing out of it was Metroid. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's an amazing thing to say.
Yeah. And we know that's in the works. We know that it got pushed back. We talked about that on the show a while back. It's what it is. And I've got enough stuff in here. I'm happy. And I'll see Metroid at E3 next year, probably.
And wow. I mean, can you imagine what that's going to be like when that thing hits along with everything else?
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see what that does.
Yeah.
That Nintendo's in a really good place, folks. We say it again, if you don't have a Switch, go get it today. Go sell a kidney. Go sell some platelets. Go do whatever you got to do. I mean, it's $250. You can sell some platelets and get that done in like a month.
There you go.
So
Jamie's got a plan for you.
I do, absolutely, because it's worth that. It really is that good. So if you don't have one, please go pick it up. And because we're at the end of the show and we started this thing that we do at the end of the show, one interesting thing is on the Twitter, sir.
I'm scrolling right now to try to find. I just love the Phil Spencer thing. That just seeing Banjo and Kazooie coming over to the Switch is super cool. And so again, I saw something that an article where it said Phil said this was an easy decision to make as a no brainer or something like that. And it also goes to something that we hadn't mentioned yet, but that was kind of a weird tease from like Microsoft's E3 schedule. They put out a schedule earlier this week. That had, you know, like all the different press conferences on it that like related to Microsoft stuff. And Nintendo's press conference was on there, and that kind of, you know, raised some eyebrows of why is Microsoft putting Nintendo on their press schedule. Well, there's one reason. There's some crossover there. And to see, again, we've talked about this with Sony and Microsoft partnering up on cloud stuff in whatever capacity that is. There's been some pushback on that, by the way. But the game industry, I think the competitors in it are wise enough to know that their existence is symbiotic. You know, like they depend on each other. Competition is good for them. And so it's encouraging to see where they can work together and do even little things like this, that it's fun. And so I thought that was cool. It's not a Keanu Reeves sex thing. And I don't know if we're ever going to top that one, but it's cool.
Yeah, honestly, I'm really glad that it's not. that was really awkward. The thing that we got to know about this, and we say it every year at E3, is that gaming in general as a whole is in a really good place.
Yep.
And I'm feeling really good because we're 8 shows in, and we've still got so much to do. It's freaking unbelievable. I don't know how we're going to get it all in because we got a lot of shows still left.
Absolutely.
So I'm having a good time here. I hope you guys are as well. Hit up the Facebook page because I'm about to put like 4 posts on it at once. Definitely go by there and check that out. Hit up the Twitter because there's cool stuff going on over there. Hit up the Patreon page because we need your money. And what else, sir?
That is most of it. 509-GAME-210 for the voicemail. Still waiting for somebody to call that. Leave us a message. We want to hear from you.
Yeah, we're not sure if it's working.
So we're not. It's been a long time. So if you have tried to call and we haven't like said, oh, yeah, we got a message from you, send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, and let us know.
Because we definitely need to hear from you because, let's face it, this has been a lot of us. And at some point in the next 2 weeks, we're going to have to do a show that's just you because this is almost too much us.
Yes.
That being said, that's all we've got for now. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. This has been the Nintendo Show, and it's Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of E3 2019. It's E4, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.